So in this video, I would now like to explore with you how it is that as human beings, we each interpret our life's events. You know, why is it that two people can look at exactly the same life event, but perceive it in two totally different ways? For example, something could happen in our economy, and one person would say, oh, it's the end of the world, we're all heading for doom and gloom, and then someone else just sees massive opportunity in this event or circumstance. And the reason why we all respond to different things in different ways is because we all see and interpret life differently. All right, have you ever understood or wondered why it is that some people kind of get stuck in that vicious circle in life? Do you know what I mean by the vicious circle? Where a person perhaps becomes ensnared in a certain way of acting or behaving. People who struggle with addictions, a great example of this, by the way. They know that drinking or drugs or, you know, gambling or whatever it is that they're doing doesn't serve them. Like, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help anyone that they know. It doesn't help them enhance the quality of their lives. It doesn't make any difference in the world. It's just a completely destructive pattern of behavior, but it's their default setting. Through the last few conversations I've had with Karen, we've discovered that apathy is Karen's default mode. What would my default mode be? If I'm going to be honest, I think probably up until recent years, my default mode was always one of self-defensiveness. I would always go on the defensive. If I ever felt or thought or assumed that someone was going to judge me, I would go on the defensive, which would sometimes result in me kind of, you know, lashing out at people or judging people before they got the chance to judge me. And we all have this, whether we're aware of it or whether we're not. When we're not aware of ourselves, it's very, very easy to get stuck in a rut. And this is kind of what I'm talking about here. So, how we interpret our life's events. So what are life's events? Life's events are just simply everything that happens to us. It's everything that we experience on a day-to-day basis, where two people would look at the same thing and perceive it in two totally different ways. We all do this. We have wins, we have losses, we have situations and circumstances. We have experiences, we have loves, we have losses, we have highs, we have lows, we have ups and we have downs. And how we perceive all these things is going to determine what it is that we ultimately feel about these things. So, in this video specifically, I just want to focus now on the relationship between our thoughts, our emotions, our actions and the outcomes that we experience in life. Because if we do not know the part that we are playing in, you know, ascertaining the outcomes that we get in life, then we're never going to know how to break our own destructive patterns. Now, this is particularly important to know and understand when it comes to coaching our clients through the process of modifying any behavioral habits that they have gotten into in the past aren't serving them in any way whatsoever. So think about it, right? Doesn't matter what event we have in life. If I can stand central to the board here, right, and let's just say that I'm taking place of this guy now, all right? So let's just say that here in the United Kingdom, Brexit is about to happen, which it actually is. Now, over the last couple of months, probably the last 6 months, I've had conversations with that many people, more people who operate inside of the business world than anything else. People have had conversations saying, oh, I'm so stressed. And I say, oh, fantastic. And what is it that you're stressed about exactly? And say, I'm stressed about Brexit. Say, oh my goodness, but it's not happened yet. Yes, but I'm stressed about what Brexit might mean. I said, fantastic, and what might Brexit mean? And they say things like, well, Brexit might mean that my business is negatively impacted and that my bottom line is reduced and I have to lay off some staff. I say, fantastic, has that happened yet? And they'll say, no, but it might happen. And then I've had conversations with other people and they say, oh, I'm so excited. And I say, oh, fantastic, what are you excited about? And they say, well, I'm really excited about the opportunities that this Brexit might create for so many people who are self-employed and fantastic, such as. and say, well, there's going to be opportunity to pioneer new initiatives that are going to allow us to offer perhaps more effective services and products than what we were previously importing from various countries throughout Europe. And what I'm showing you here, hopefully, and demonstrating, is that our thoughts create feelings. If we are thinking about our life's events or future situations in a positive light in terms of looking to identify opportunity, we feel excited, we feel okay about the future. But when we don't, all right, we can end up getting ourselves all stressed out and all that sort of thing. Thoughts always come first. Emotions always come second. And this pretty much completely contradicts common cultural belief that emotions are illnesses, all right? We can blame the American Psychological Association for this one, my friends. Even though they're totally professional and all that kind of stuff, they've really screwed up much of Western society's thinking, all right? Especially in our young people today, all right? Emotions aren't illnesses. They spawn from thoughts. What we focus on in life, we will feel. So it's not that we need cures for emotions, we just need better interventions. You know, intervention strategies trained in our schools and in our workplaces and educational establishments and in the family home and throughout society at large. Why? Because when people understand themselves more effectively from the inside out, they can better understand and appreciate that they do not have to be led and managed and have their lives influenced by emotions. Instead, we can just simply become clearer on what it is that we're thinking about and change that instead. So I want to build upon this, all right? Because no outcome that we could ever experience in life stands alone in isolation. It's not like we just have a whole load of outcomes going on in life that we haven't played a part in. We have thoughts about things and then we have feelings, and how we feel 9 times out of 10 determines how we either react or respond to the circumstances and the situations and the life events that come our way. We're always going to be either reacting or responding to something all of the time, i.e. a fear, an insecurity, an expectation, be this good, be this bad, future based or whatever. And here's the thing, when we feel something, i.e. we're feeling angst, or we're feeling excitement, and we can give Karen as a great response here. When Karen is focusing on not doing any damage, i.e. she's focused on her negative motivation, she's thinking, well, if I say something and if I do more damage than good, then that's going to be bad, and I don't want to do anything that's bad. Therefore, this discomfort that I'm feeling down here in my tummy somewhere, I'm going to react to this emotion and do nothing. All right, now we're talking about taking action. Taking action can sometimes mean taking no action. And if we always do what we've always done, we can always expect what we've always had. All right, and nothing really changes. But through the last demonstration with Karen, you most likely are aware that once we'd had that kind of conversation that guided Karen through her 5 levels of human experience, Karen was able to identify that obviously being negatively motivated isn't serving her or helping her to get what she wants. When she becomes clear on what she actually does want, which was to make a positive difference, to share her value with other people, then she thought, oh, well, that's actually what I really want to do. I feel excited about this. And it's when we feel excited about the goals and the things that we have going on in life that we become free to respond and then take appropriate action. When we're operating out of our emotions, we can tend to act a little bit sporadically, and this is when we might say and do things that we don't mean to say or do, offend people, upset people, and it's just because we're not grounded within ourselves. So, outcomes. Now, this is kind of like the personal responsibility cycle, by the way. All right, where many people would say, I'm not responsible for all the things that happen to me in life. Well, that might be true in some instances, right? We cannot control what other people say and do to us. We can't control the economy. We can't control our hair, whether it stays in, falls out. We can't even control whether we wake up tomorrow morning or whether we don't. But we can control all of the time how it is that we choose to respond to life and our life's experiences and events. Why? Because we're only ever one thought away from completely transforming how it is that we are emotionally experiencing life. We're only ever one decision away from taking a completely different course of action that's going to get us a set of outcomes or results in life that we've never had before. All right, and this is pretty much the cycle. It's not any more complex than this. Some people get stuck in a cycle of self-destruction where they have an outcome or they're getting some sort of result in life that they don't want, but because they never change anything, they never change their pattern of thinking, they never identify that it is in fact their quality of thinking that's pretty much bringing about the demise in their lives, they don't change their thinking, they don't change their thinking because they don't know how to. And this is pretty much what opens the doors wide open in society for people like us to step in and start helping people out. Now seriously, as a life coach, as a helper now, it's not that ideas like this can just be shared with people in a one-on-one context. These are ideas now that we really want to be deeply ingraining throughout our culture, society. We just want to be getting these ideas taught in schools, and social groups and clubs, all these sorts of things, when people understand themselves and how it is that everyone on some level is influencing and playing a part in determining the outcomes that they get in life. Granted, I'm not talking about the things that happen to us, but I'm talking about our attitude towards life, when we are thinking a certain way, when we're feeling a certain way, it's always going to influence our reactions or our responses to our external life's events. The action that we determine, that we take, is going to be determined by whether we are on top of our emotions or whether we're not. So many people in life who really do a great job of screwing their lives up are generally those who are operating out of a place of emotional reaction. What's good, a more helpful place to operate out of, is when we're just simply aware off our emotions. It's not like we can always capture a thought. If we just come back to the little devil, little angel picture, all right, we can have thousands of thoughts rushing through our head every single day. And if you're anything like me, I've got a very, very fast-paced mind. You can probably pick this up as you just observe how quickly I speak sometimes, all right? So we might not always be able to capture the thoughts that pop into our mind, especially if they are, negative or unhelpful by nature. But what we can do is we can just become a bit more of how it is that we are feeling, all right? There's an old mentor of mine once gave me some seriously wise guidance for making decisions. And this was, if you're ever feeling under pressure, if you're ever feeling stressed, if you're ever feeling anxious or angry or something like this, if you ever feel like you just want to give another person a piece of your mind, don't. All right, just zip it, keep your trap shut, don't do anything. Never make a decision unless it is coming from a place of peace. Allow peace to become the umpire in your decision-making process. Now, it took me probably a couple of years to get my head around that one. But what I've come to appreciate this as meaning in recent years is when we're operating from a place of peace, then we're not operating from a place of emotional turmoil or unrest. All right, which means that we're going to be clear-headed, we're going to be aware of, most likely, 9 times out of 10, the impact that our decision, whatever this decision will be, will have on our own lives and of other people as well. So the question you might be asking right now is, so how do we intervene? At what point or what part in this process can we, as life coaches, start influencing people? Well, we've got to understand how it is that this process applies to us first and foremost, and how it is that we can start managing ourselves more effectively as individuals. If we're able to gauge our emotions, say for example, I'm angry, I am stressed, I'm anxious, I'm uptight, I'm panicking, I'm whatever I'm doing, all right? All we've ever got to do is simply backtrack and establish the facts. What am I thinking about? What was I thinking? What thought popped into my head? What idea went through my noggin here? What idea might I have accepted as true that perhaps might not be true? So we become more effective at policing our thoughts. The more effective we become at policing our own thoughts, policing our thoughts, we're just simply looking to identify those thoughts that are kind of popping through our mind on a day-to-day basis that are true from those that aren't. All right? This is pretty much the framework that we are then also going to use in the context of our coaching relationships. Right? 9 times out of 10, our clients are going to give voice to how they feel. They're going to talk about the outcomes, the problems that they have in their life. But what we want to be just crystal clear on is the fact that thoughts produce things. All right? The thoughts that pop through our minds and into our heads on a day-to-day basis trigger emotions automatically, be them good or be them bad. Right? Be these emotions good or bad is ultimately going to determine whether we react or respond to the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in. Our reaction or our response is going to be action. The action that we take is always going to then produce another outcome in our life. If this outcome is what we want, fantastic. We're going to be happy about that one. We're going to be thinking good things. If this outcome is not what we want or is something we perceive as being negative, guess what? We're going to end up having more thoughts about that. And if these thoughts are negative by nature, then the vicious circle continues. So if we want to break trends in our life, if we want to break habits in our life, if we want to break attitudes or habitual patterns of behavior or whatever, all right, all we ever need to become grounded in is our awareness of what we're thinking about on a day-to-day basis. And how we become more aware of this is by managing and regulating and becoming more aware of how we are feeling on a minute-by-minute basis. Now, some people would refer to this as mindfulness, mindful awareness. I'm just going to call it self-awareness because this is a self-awareness section of the course. But if we understand this, then it sets us up as life coaches to help our clients and those people that we serve become far more aware of themselves also. You with me? So I hope that this has made sense to you. I hope this has just given you a bit of a clearer insight into what actually goes on inside of people's minds. Because once we understand this stuff, then it sets us up to be able to really start facilitating positive change in others. So, hope you found this interesting, and I'll see you again in the next clip.